All right, how's everybody doing? Oh my gosh, I got the theme song even, but here we go. How's everyone doing? It is Thursday. Hopefully everybody's having a wonderful day here in Chicago. What a day, what a beautiful day that is here in Chicago, that for sure. I've got my theme song music, man. I didn't have my theme song music. Episode 47, we're at episode 47 already here. Chicago Music Review. I'm Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com, also director of entertainment and programming at the Epiphany Center for the Arts. Things brought to you by Craig Pilo. I've had so many people tell me how much they like that theme song. So thanks to Craig Pilo for the theme song, and thank you all for watching. As I always say, if you like this, we'd love comments. We love to get likes. We love to get shares. If you dig what you hear, leave us a comment. If you have any questions, let us know you're out there. Always fun to talk to different people and interact throughout the show as we do that. Today is Thursday, and I have a very special guest on. But before I bring Monica on, I want to also mention tomorrow we have an incredible show coming up as well. Episode 48 is going to be one for the ages, and it's also going to test technical ability because we are going to have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bass players and myself on the show tomorrow, including Daryl Jones from the Rolling Stones. He'll be on with us. Frank Russell, Chuck Webb, Bear Williams. You guys all know him. Billy Dickens, he's going to be on, and a few others are going to be popping on. So tomorrow's going to be quite the show. We're going to start at 6. It'll probably be about an hour. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be a lot of discussion about bass, about electric bass, upright bass, all of the histories. And, of course, all of them are from Chicago. So we're going to have a lot of stories. I'm sure it's going to be kind of like a bass player hang tomorrow. So it should be very interesting to hear and feel. And we'll all learn a lot, I'm sure. So it's going to be very cool. Hopefully everyone can tune in then at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. But until then, we are going to kick off episode 47. And I am happy to bring on Monica Staton. How are you, Monica?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad we can make this work. And this is our first of many discussions I'm sure we're going to have, because I've been writing for the magazine, for Chicago Jazz Magazine, for, has it been 2 years? I know it's been over a year now. And you developed this wonderful... It's just been over a year, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you developed a wonderful column called The Future Is Now, and you've been able to showcase and feature a lot of different musicians that are up-and-comers, that are maybe not quite household names yet, but then soon will be household names. And we've decided to take a little switch because of the new digital age that Chicago Jazz Magazine is in. And you're turning your column into a podcast. So this first one, I'm calling episode one. That's what it is up on chicagojazzmagazine.com right now, by the way. So everybody should head over there after we're done talking so you can hear this. And you can download it. It's on iTunes. It's on every podcast platform you can think of. It's everywhere. Tune in radio. But this one, you actually, you do your first episode of the podcast, The Future Is Now, and you're interviewing Alexis Lombre. So let's talk a little bit and talk a little bit about Alexis and what you discovered and what you found out about Alexis and why you actually chose Alexis to be the first guest on the podcast.
You know, Alexis, she's from Chicago. She's a cultivated career. However, she moved to Michigan, and she built a following in Detroit. I enjoy her music. She's young. She's vibrant, and she's the thing of the future. She is a quintessential candidate for the company.
You know, it was a great thought to come up with the column. How did you think about that? Because let's talk a little about just the column in general. Because when you first started writing for Chicago Jazz Magazine, and you and I talked, and you were nice enough that you were looking to start to contribute to the Jazz Magazine and start to cover different things on the scene. And when you came up with the idea about The Future Is Now, I mean, that was a great idea. It's a great column. And there's so many artists, as you know, and as I know, that are coming up that don't get a lot of love right off the bat because they're young and they're working their way through the ranks. So what was your motivation to start that column, The Future Is Now? And how does that tie in with your love of the Chicago music scene? Because you've been covering and doing different things on the Chicago music scene for quite a while, even before you started writing the column.
Okay. You know, I've thought about the column from both the perspective of the artist and also the connoisseur. I'm not a musician. I just have a love of music. I enjoy older artists, but as you know, my husband is he's a jazz guitarist. And, you know, I'm often out enjoying live music. And I was just introduced to an array of talent here in Chicago that, you know, that doesn't get notoriety or even mention. I thought that they deserved, you know, to be acknowledged.
You know, we should mention, too, who your tell everybody who your husband is, too. You mentioned your husband, a guitar player. So let's give Samuel a little plug here. Go ahead.
Samuel Mushing, he's a jazz guitarist. He's been here in Chicago for about 7 years. He's from Switzerland. And he's coming up through the ranks also. He has a following in Chicago.
I had him on.
I love his music, by the way.
Well, I know. I had him on the show. It was one of the first episodes because he does a couple of regular live stream performances each week, right? I mean, he does Saturday that he does a live stream?
He has a live stream on Saturday at 2 p.m.
Okay.
On Facebook. You can also catch him on Instagram live also.
That's right. See, so we had to give him a plug because you don't want to get off of here and not have given him a plug. So, all right, took care of Samuel. So let's talk a little bit about your background as a writer, because you that's your career choice, right? You went to college for journalism, didn't you?
No, I went to college for journalism, but, you know, I've been in banking for several years, and you allow me, you know, creative expression once again. With your help, writing again and writing about something I love, you know.
That's the thing that, you know, we have another contributor, Harar Atarian, Dr. Atarian, who's a neurologist, and, you know, he's working, you know, in the neurology field, obviously, 60 hours a week. So he loves writing for the jazz magazine. He loves listening to jazz because it gives his mind a break, allows him to look and get more creative and everything. And I think that probably is the same case with you, right? Because, I mean, when you go out and you hear music, even though you're not a musician, it's a way of you just like relaxing. You probably consume it a lot differently than a musician would. So I think it's interesting for you to write columns for us and also now doing the podcast, because you're consuming this stuff different than a musician would be consuming it. And it's got to be a great release for you.
Yeah, I write about it differently. You know, it's not technical. I write about the aspects of the genre that I love or I like or appreciate that I think others can kind of connect to.
That's the trick sometimes as a musician, because as a musician, you know, everybody wants to start writing about changes and about this and about that. But really, I feel like your podcast now, but your columns before, are able to connect with the casual music fan and, you know, the hardcore jazz fan, because you're introducing it. But really, I think that casual music fan is the one that I've always wanted to connect with the magazine. And that's why I think what you're doing and contributing is so wonderful, because it's connecting with that casual music fan, such as yourself, who just loves the music. And you're actually you're finding these different musicians. So let's talk a little bit about what's the criteria to end up, if you're a musician, how does Monica decide you're going to be on The Future Is Now? What's the criteria on that? How are you finding these people?
I have to enjoy the music. I have to connect with music and the musician. And Yeah, that's first and foremost. There has to be something about the music that I connect to. And I also look for people or artists that are taking jazz in new directions. I'm really fascinated in regards to the evolution of jazz. And that's something I look for, definitely. People yeah. doing new or dynamic or incorporating different art forms, you know, into this music.
That's the thing that I find interesting. Like some of the different artists you've covered are, you know, they're not just sitting there. They're not just playing standards all the time or something. They're always trying to push the envelope, even if they're young and they're up and coming. They're writing original music, or they're trying to push, even if they are playing some standards, they're doing it in a different way. When you were growing up, were you listening to a lot of music when you were coming up? I mean, was music around you in your house when you were coming up? Is that how you became kind of a lover of music?
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, my uncles, they were a part of a band, you know, here in Chicago, not so famous. My father, he definitely influenced me and, you know, helped to develop my love of music. And I would attend all jazz festivals with my father from a very young age. Music was always a part of the sounds in my home. Yeah.
So did you? I gotta ask. So when you went to the jazz festivals, did you go because you were like, you wanted to hear the music, or did you go just because dad's making me go? All right, I'll go down, and then maybe you heard something that inspired you.
You know, back then, yeah, I was going because dad made me go. And I can just remember when I was a child, the jazz festival was always during it was just always chilly.
Yeah, right,
you know,
yeah.
September. Yeah, and I could just remember just being bundled up as a child on the lawn with my family listening to jazz. But those are some of my best moment, you know, or just memorable. I'm glad I had those experiences.
Yeah. I know you were probably, when you were going, it was in Grant Park. When you were growing up, it was over in Grant Park probably. And I know because I, you know, I've been going probably just, you know, for I'm older than you, so I've been going longer than you to those, but it was always one of those things where, you know, as a musician myself, I'd go down and I'd hang out and I'd listen and stuff. But man, it always amazed me how people would make an entire weekend of it. And they would go down and they'd set up their chairs or set up a day tent and sit down and have dinner and food and everything going and consume the music. And I always saw a lot of younger kids and a younger, you know, teenagers and things like that you knew they were there with their parents and with their family, but then all of a sudden something would happen and they would be like, whoa, there'd be a solo or something and everybody would stand up and cheer and that would catch them. And I got to believe that, maybe not necessarily with you, but I got to believe that that's one of those things that's special with the city of Chicago because of these festivals, because you can really, you know, you never know what anybody's going to hear. You never know who you're going to connect with. And that's one of those great memories I have, is just watching all of these people experience it and the kids just stop in their tracks once in a while. So I bet that happened to you once in a while too, when you were there, even though maybe you weren't totally paying attention and something caught your ear.
Oh, definitely. And if I hadn't cultivated a love for the art then, I definitely had those discussions with my parents later. You know, I asked my mother, and my father, he passed away, but my mother is still with me. And, you know, it's like I want to know who's her great favorite artist, or, you know, what does she remember about the era? How did it influence her, play a part in her life?
Mm-hmm. No, it's always interesting to me. It's always because especially with jazz, you know, I mean, you always, when I'm talking to whether it's musicians or journalists like yourself or, you know, club owners or venue owners or something, there was always some of that influence as they were growing up that brought them and drove them into the music, because obviously, let's admit it, jazz doesn't have a massive marketing, you know, behind it. Like, it's not like Katy Perry or somebody here. So, I mean, you have to find it some way. And it always comes back to growing up, and an aunt or an uncle or a father or a mother always drives them in. Now, outside of the jazz, how did you get into journalism? Because you went to college for journalism. So what sparked that interest?
You know, my name is Monica. I'm told that my name means to monitor. I've just always been a curious person about any and everything. I just want to learn the details. And I think at the root of that, it's people. I like learning as much as I can about a person. And that's my interest. And everything I'm covering, it leads back to that person and just wanting to know a person more in depthly, and jazz and politics. It's always about the person.
That's really one of those keys, is to be curious, you know, because I'm sure you were in school with some students that wanted to get into journalism or were going into writing, but they weren't necessarily totally curious. And I'm sure there was a lot of questions in class from the teachers saying, hey, you know, you've got to ask certain questions. But don't you find, if you're naturally curious, when you start to ask the questions, regardless of what you're doing, whether it's music or whether it's politics or anything like that, but when you start to ask the questions, then they'll say something, and then that'll lead you as a curious person to ask another question, kind of like leading them down through a hole, because you're thinking as they're answering how to, you know, get a little bit more out of what they're telling you if you're trying to talk about a specific subject, you know, if you're writing about it. So it's got to come naturally to you, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And,
You know, with the... Go ahead, sorry.
No, but, yeah, just that natural desire to know as much as I can about a subject and a person is what pushes me and is what drives me when writing my column or preparing for a podcast. The future is now. That's at the heart of it. My ego completely out of it. As you see, I'm not the easiest person. It's like, you know, I'm not the easiest person on camera. But yeah, I really like focusing in on my topic or my person. And yeah.
Well, I think. Well, first of all, you're doing great. You look fine on the camera, so I don't know what you're talking about. But listening to the podcast, I thought it sounded great for the first podcast. You know, it's always interesting to hear a writer switch over and do an actual audio interview or a video audio interview with somebody. But, you know, it gets back to your natural curiosity and the questions you were asking Alexis. And you know, she's a fascinating young woman. She's like, you and I were talking before we came on live. I mean, she's what, 23 now. She's just graduating from the University of Michigan with a jazz degree, but she's been playing. I mean, I know she was playing in high school with the Jazz Lynx and stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. She's been a pro since 14.
Jeez. So, yeah. I mean, think about that. I don't know what I was doing when I was 14, but I certainly wasn't playing professional music at that point. So, I mean, you know, and piano at that, you know. So what did you learn about Alexis when she was talking about different things? And I thought it was interesting listening to the podcast, how you got her to talk a little bit more specific about certain subjects. But what did you learn specifically? Because we want to make sure everybody goes and listens to the podcast. So we don't want to give everybody the entire gist of the entire interview, but it's interesting to hear her story. What did you learn that you thought maybe was one of those interesting points that you didn't really suspect to know?
You know, her background, she initially, started playing classical. And she had to choose between classical and jazz, because the two schools somewhat collided.
Mm-hmm.
So she chose jazz because it was freer. It allowed her, well, in essence, it allowed her more freedom, the freedom of improvisation. What I learned about her that I found interesting, I found interesting how her reaction to this pandemic, COVID, and how she was choosing to spend her time, and how her persona as a musician was affected by this whole crisis. Mm. And I just thought she just had just a wonderful outlook on life and playing and her career at such a young age. So that was one of the takeaways I got from Alexis.
Yeah, it's interesting in this day and age, too. So I'm glad you did the podcast, because it's interesting to hear about that, because I'm talking to a lot of musicians. You know, I mean, this is episode 47. So I've done 47 episodes of this, and most of the people I've talked to are musicians, and they're all dealing with the COVID situation in a different way, because they're, you know, they can't do anything. There isn't any clubs, and they're all finding it. But I find some of the younger people are actually able to utilize the technology and utilize the ability to go back and forth and connect with other peers, but then also push out their music. And it sounds like that's what she has been focused on doing while she's finishing up her degree.
Yes, exactly. And just learning and listening to a wide range of artists during her downtime. I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
That,
who she's listening to.
Yeah.
How fascinating. Which you can hear that in the podcast.
There you go. See, that's a professional plug. I love it. Yes. So you have to go and see the pod. You have to go listen to the podcast. It's on ChicagoJazzMagazine.com. It's mm-hmm. also available on iTunes, on Spotify, on TuneIn Radio, on Google Play, and everywhere else you can find a podcast. We'll link everything up. Now, before I let you go, and you're going to do another one of these, I think, what are we planning on, once a month or every other month?
Once
I forget.
Yeah, not once a month.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. So we're going to do it.
I have I'm exposed to so much music now on Facebook Live. So, yeah. I'm checking out a few artists. I haven't decided who I plan to feature for my next podcast, but there are so many wonderful, talented artists based here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't wait to introduce to the world, in essence. So yeah, I'll keep you posted.
All right, but good. So.
Yeah, quite a bit out there.
Awesome. Yeah, there are. And to your point with the Facebook Live, it's mm-hmm. really, to me, and I'm sure you'll probably echo what I'm going to say, but to me, you know, I've either known of artists, but I've never get out to go see and hear them mm-hmm. because there's so much stuff going on. So it's impossible. Or there's a lot of artists that I wasn't even aware of that have come across my feed that I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Who are these? Who's this? Who's that? Who's this? So I think in this day and age right now, with the live streaming platforms and all that, it's actually, if you're doing it a certain way, you're able to connect with a wide audience, and maybe you find different people and build an audience of people that would have never known you were around because of the Facebook Live. So, you know, I think this is a great moment for that kind of technological connection. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's important. You're probably finding even more artists that maybe you heard of, but you had never heard until you saw a Facebook Live performance.
And, you know, it also, you know, I just can't wait until we're able to get back out there to see these artists play live shows. And I think there will be more enthusiasm as it relates to live music after this quarantine ends and we're able to get back out there and get back to normal. I don't know when that'll happen, but when it does, you know, I just see, you know, a revolution in many different areas, and live music being one of them, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Yeah. You know, you never know what you miss until you don't have it anymore. And then you're like, oh, no. So I totally agree. Now, we should plug. We need to send people over if they want more information on Monica Staton. Where should they go?
MonicaStatonWrites.com.
MonicaStatonWrites.com. We'll link it up. And they can find out more about you. They can connect with you. So maybe if they have one of those futures now potential artists, they should connect with you through that and shoot you an email. Of course, they can shoot an email to Chicago Jazz Magazine or just leave us a comment and we'll pass it along to you as well. And, man, Monica, this has been fun. I'm glad we did this first one. This is great. It was super informative, and I'm hoping everybody goes over and enjoys the podcast, because I think this new format, the way you're doing it, is interesting, because before you were writing, but now you actually get to hear the artist's voice and hear how they're talking. And sometimes it with that kind of thing, it gives the listener an even more of a connection.
Exactly. And like, for example, Alexis, she has such a bright spirit, and I really do think that came across. On the podcast. So, yeah.
100%. 100%. Well, hey, thanks, Monica. Thanks for being on for the first time. It won't be the last, so we'll have to preview the next one. So keep us posted who the next artist is, and then we'll set up another time for you to come on, and we're going to preview that as well. But it's been fascinating also, I think, to the readers and the listeners that have seen your name for over a year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
To know a little bit more about Monica. So this has been fun.
Thank you so much.
Oh, definitely. All right. Have a good night, and we'll see you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
I encourage everybody to go check out that podcast, because it's really exciting. And I'm glad we got Monica on to talk a little bit about it and preview it, because she's doing a great job with that column. I mean, the future is now. It really was a wonderful way to connect with an artist, a wonderful way to connect and to put the whole thing together when she first started and to find all these different artists. But then now she's doing the podcast, and it's another level of it, because now you get to hear that artist talking to Monica, and you get to hear like what she said. I mean, the vibrancy coming off of Alexis Lombre is something that's good to hear. You need to hear that. So I encourage everybody, ChicagoJazzMagazine.com. It's linked on ChicagoJazz.com as well. Of course, we'll put a link on ChicagoMusicReveal.com, and then all the podcast platforms you can think of. That's where it is, up and running now. The future is now with Monica Staton. I appreciate Monica being on the show. Episode 47 is coming to a wrap. We have got a gangbuster episode tomorrow. As I mentioned at the front end of the show, it is the first ever bass guitar talk here on Chicago Music Revealed, and we are going to be having incredible bassists. Actually, the bassist for the Rolling Stones, Daryl Jones, is going to be on tomorrow with us. That's going to be exciting. He's from Chicago, by the way. Frank Russell is going to be co-hosting with me. We all love Frank. He's been on, I think he was on one of the first episodes, episode one or two of Chicago Music Revealed. Bear Williams, who was just on last week, I think it was. Bear was on. Fascinating, incredible, world-renowned bassist. Chuck Webb, we've had Chuck on. Incredible, world-renowned bassist. Billy Dickens is going to be on. World-renowned bassist. And a few other surprises. So, everybody, tune in tomorrow, 6 p.m. We're going to see if Mike Jeffers can control all of the technology and make sure everything is working correctly. So, that's going to be a process, but fingers crossed we don't have any crashes tomorrow, because it's way too important to have this thing happen with that kind of stuff happening. But as I always say, if you like what you hear, share it, like it, leave us a comment, give us a thumbs up, tell your neighbors, tell the family, call the grandkids. Tomorrow, episode 48 coming at you at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Until then, everybody stay safe, everybody stay healthy, social distance, and I will see you back here on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching.